We firstly were presented with a report that outlined the due process activities for all projects on the board's current agenda. The staff focused on updating the committee on a number of key issues, some of which were the subject of separate agenda items to which I will refer in a few moments. The first item was the standard on revenue recognition. We spent some time discussing the latest position on revenue recognition following the publication of IFRS 15, in particular in relation to the Transition Resource Group, the TRG. The DPOC noted that the board had recently completed its decision-making on its proposed clarifications to IFRS 15, which has arisen from a number of issues that had originally been discussed by the TRG. Having completed these deliberations, the board has announced that it believes that stakeholders now need stability to be sure that they can continue their IFRS implementation, IFRS 15 implementation plans, confident in the knowledge that the standard will not be subject to further changes before it comes into effect in 2018. By the way, this date was itself postponed by 1 year. The board has also announced that it doesn't plan to schedule further meetings of the IFRS constituents of the TRG. And the DPOC observed that the US FASB has, however, scheduled further meetings of US constituents of the TRG, although those meetings may not take place if no further issue of substance are raised. The DPOC observed that this announcement has caused some comment and concern that this might somehow disconnect the approach by the IASB and FASB, possibly raising some educational or due process issues. And the DPOC sought further explanations from the board representatives on the rationale for the announcement and the potential implication. And the DPOC was given such explanations. The board stressed the importance of giving stakeholders stability and certainty in their IFRS 15 implementation planning and the need to avoid the impression that the standard remained a moving target. That said, the board was keen to emphasize to the DPOC that the TRG has not been disbanded and further meetings might be held if deemed necessary. The board and the staff will continue to monitor and observe any future activities of the IFASB's TRG and will take any further action as deemed appropriate. The board noted that, as has been the case since the inception, TRG papers and discussions would be public and that all constituents would have the ability to keep up to speed with any development and comments from the board as well as to the FASB if they have any concerns of issues. And the DPOC considered whether there were any due process concerns of or implications. The committee noted that a TRG is a relatively new device and one which has not been contemplated at the time that the latest version of the due process handbook was issued in early 2013. And it is not clear that the TRG should be a permanent device in the future, having been used for very complex and difficult in the application significant standards that had been developed for more than 10 years. That said, the committee also noted that the TRG was a forum established to consider and discuss issues, but it was not empowered to issue any authoritative guidance, and the board already had existent mechanisms in place to consider any implementation question relating to a standard post-publication, and these remain unaffected. The DPOC noted that there had been positive comments made about the TRG, not only in providing a forum for issues to be discussed, but also to educate constituents in the requirements of the standard. And the board was again keen to emphasize to the trustees that such educational and implementation support activities will continue. Following a discussion, the DPOC expressed its support for the board's emphasis on stability. but asked the board to consider how it might also stress and better communicate the fact that its decisions not to schedule any further TRG meetings does not mean that it is stepping back from its activities in supporting the implementation of IFRS 15, and the board agreed to do so. We then talked about agenda consultation. The DPOC was updated on the progress of the board's agenda consultation, noting that the comment period on its request for views closed on 31st of December, and that over 100 comment letters have been received. In terms of main messages, the committee noted the encouragement from many constituents for completing the projects on insurance contracts and the conceptual framework. And there was also support expressed for the board's disclosure initiative and a project on primary financial statements. The staff are now reading through and starting to analyze the comment letters with the aim of preparing a feedback statement on proposal in summer 2016. The DPOC took note of the latest developments and stressed the need to ensure that the proposed timetable allows for discussion with the trustees at their May meeting, including the board's emerging proposals in the light of the feedback received. It is important that the implications of the agenda consultation for the trustees' review of structure and effectiveness and vice versa are taken into account. We then considered other projects. The DPOC questioned the IASB representatives on a number of other projects, in particular the disclosure initiative, where the centerpiece is the principles of disclosure, on which a discussion paper is anticipated in Q2 of this year. And secondly, dynamic risk management, also known as macro hedging, where the DPOC asked for an update on progress. The DPOC noted the divergence of views between users and preparers that the board has received in response to the discussion paper on this project, and the difference of views of what should be the overall objective of the project. This presents a challenge for the board in how it should proceed. The DPOC was informed that the IASB was approaching the issue by deciding to consider the information needs of users. In considering the work plan overall, the DPOC at its meeting confirmed its view that all projects are proceeding in a manner consistent with the requirements set out in the due process handbook. We then were updated on the progress the board has made on its insurance contracts project. And at its January 2016 meeting, as Hans mentioned, the board completed its planned technical decisions on the project. For its February meeting, the technical staff planned to ask the board to confirm that it doesn't need to re-expose the proposed new standard and, subject to that confirmation, to review the due process steps taken in developing the proposed standard and to ask the board for its permission to start the balloting process. The staff presented to the DPOC a number of draft papers they planned to present to the board in February. One set out the background of the project, including a reminder of the urgent need for a new insurance contract standard and the extent of consultation that has taken place. As for the other two draft papers, the first set out the criteria for re-exposure in the due process handbook, together with the technical staff's assessment of where the current proposals for the forthcoming standards stand against those criteria. The staff recommendation is that the tentative decisions reached are not of such a fundamental nature as to require re-exposure, and those decisions also respond to feedback the board has received. In addition, the board's ongoing engagement with constituents has not revealed any new issues. The draft paper also assessed weighing the costs of re-exposing against the benefits. The second paper reviewed all the due process steps taken in developing the new insurance contract standard, both mandatory and optional, and will contain a request to begin the balloting process for the new insurance contract standard. The DPOC appreciated the opportunity for it to review the papers and to provide its comments before the papers go to the board. Given the high profile of the project and controversial nature of at least some of the proposals, the DPOC stressed the importance of the board having a defensible and credible case for not re-exposing again. And the DPOC noted that the board had already issued one discussion paper and two exposure drafts on the project, but acknowledged that there will be some parties who think that the proposal should be re-exposed again, whatever the situation. In reviewing the position, the DPOC acknowledged that a case had been made for not having another re-exposure. The committee did, however, emphasize the need for careful and considered drafting process for the standard, which would involve preparing drafts for editorial review with external parties, as well as preparing an extensive effect analysis, as has been done for the leases standard. Subject to the board's decision at its February meeting, the DPOC will consider a full life cycle review of the upcoming standard at its meeting in May 2016. On leases, the DPOC received a presentation from the technical staff providing an insight into what happens in the process of finalizing a standard for issue from time to time that the board gives its permission to ballot, and the DPOC carries out its due process life cycle review to publication. In the drafting of the leases standard, the DPOC noted that the process had taken some 10 months with preparation of, 10 years, with preparations of four different drafts, three internal and one issued to a group of external reviewers. The staff explained to the committee how they had sought to tabulate, analyze, and address all the comments received and the process that had been followed with the board as a whole and the board member advisors on the leases project in particular. The staff also explained how they had handled the comments received from the external reviewers and assured the committee that all of the comments had been considered carefully. The DPOC also noted the extensive effect analysis that has been prepared and published with IFRS 16. This is the first effect analysis that has been issued that seeks specifically to incorporate the recommendations of the November 2014 report of the Effect Analysis Consultative Group. The appendix to the agenda paper sets out how the group's recommendations have been reflected in the effect analysis. And the DPOC noted the positive reaction that had been given to the issue of IFRS 16 in general and the effect analysis report in particular, which set a high benchmark for the board to attain in assessing and analyzing the effects of further major projects. The DPOC then noted the report on the activities of a number of the IASB's consultative groups, including a number of membership changes. We then were informed that no other correspondence requiring the committee's attention had been received since our meeting in October 2015. And that concludes my report. I'm happy to take any comments or questions. Again, as we have already discussed these issues extensively, I suppose there are no questions, and I would like to close this session. I would not do it before expressing our thanks to the staff, to Jenny, and to all of them for a remarkable organization, as usual. You know, we know that we are unhappy when trains are late. I have to say that at the IFRS Foundation, this never happens.